Hi, and so awesome to have you here on my podcast, Change and Perspective, your podcast for inspiring new ideas for a conscious and sustainable life while traveling and at home. My name is Katrin David. Join me on my adventure to more positivity in the world. So here we are again, back in Germany, back to the podcast, back to another interview. I'm recording this in a room of my boyfriend's parents' house. So yes, we are back, but we are not back in our old lives. It's more like, yeah, starting all over again and doing our own projects. And the podcast is still a part of it. And this time I'm so happy to share with you a conversation with Charles Kamya. He's from Uganda, and I actually got in contact with him through the organization Global Match. I wrote an email to Katharina, who's the other co-founder apart from Charles, and she wrote, yeah, you know, about all those topics around globalization and equal opportunities and white saviorism and all that stuff. We so often talk to white people, and she suggested to talk to Charles, and I just loved it. That's I was like, yeah, so true. And so that's why I'm super happy that I got him on the phone. And yeah, we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about his perception, his view on development aid, his view on imperialism, post-colonialism, so many different words, difficult words. Is it okay to volunteer in Africa? What should I do? And what he's actually doing with Global Match itself, and also with another organization he founded together with a friend. So yeah, it's just really inspiring to hear his point of view from someone from Africa, Uganda, traveling to Germany several times and just having both views, really. This cultural exchange and what is different and what unites us and how we can tackle global problems, basically. So yeah, I think I don't want to share too much before we even started. So yeah, enjoy, have fun. Welcome to another podcast episode from Change and Perspective. Today it's another interview, and I'm basically on phone with Uganda. And wow, with someone who started an organization that's called Global Match, together with Katharina from Germany. But he's also involved in so many different projects around youth empowerment, education, health, and above all, he wants to stand up for a world with equal opportunities for every young person around the world. So yeah, I'm more than happy to welcome you, Charles, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much for the great introduction.
You're welcome.
Yes, just like you said, my name is Charles Kamya, from Uganda, and I'm 26 years old. I studied business administration, and also did a short course in project management. I work with Global Match since 2015, because this is the year when Global Match was founded. So since that time until now, I'm working with Global Match as a co-founder, as well as a tandem supporter.
Yeah, I also got to know you basically from Global Match, and maybe you can talk a little bit, what are you doing? And what are you doing with Global Match? Because you're basically connecting people, like-minded people from the global south with the global north.
Actually, it's really interesting that initially when I actually when we the time we hadn't yet thought of coming up with Global Match, because it is so much connected to our inspirations, how we view this world, different perspectives. This whole motivation started with Katharina, my colleague, as well as me as a person, because initially we got challenged by the perspectives that people really have, both North and South. And it all started when Katharina visited Uganda to volunteer in any entity here in Uganda. And by chance, she was given to a certain organization. It is an orphanage, but also a primary school here in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And I'm just neighboring it. It is called St. Moses Primary School. Mm-hmm. So when Katharina came from Germany to volunteer, she really had no qualifications, not at all. But then when she came to this orphanage, she was offered to teach English, to teach this English language. Yeah. And, you know, she has no qualifications, but just because she's white, these people saw to it that maybe since she's white, she can do anything, you know? So you realize their minds were still thinking in this post-colonial way. So to them, they saw it as something good. But then to me and Katharina, it was an insult somehow. Because even Katharina herself as an individual, she felt somehow even offended. Why did they give her to teach this English language? Because she's even coming from a German background, you know? So we reflected a lot about this issue. Young as we were, she was 18. I was also 18 because we are almost the same age. So as time went on, we all studied. She also studied, of course, in the section of colonialism and so forth. So we thought of coming up with this organization. And our major aim was to try so much in our in our basis to reduce these global inequalities, share global opportunities, as well as working on projects together, these projects that affect the globe at large. So Katharina and I made thorough research, because we couldn't just jump into an organization and then, you know, just starting it up. So we went through a process, of course, by consulting different people, also professionals who gave us different ideas on how best we can do it. So we thought of matching tandems, both from the global north, which is basically Europe, and those from the global south, which is basically Africa. By doing so, we expected our tandems to apply to our program, because we have a stiff professional program. So these people apply to our program with a special interest to work on any SDG, or it could be also any project that is problem solving, although it's not in line with the SDGs. So they apply to our program with this special interest. Of course, we go through all the processes of interviewing, going through their motivation letters, going through their application letters, and so forth. So after shortlisting them, we match them. But in the first place, we match them according to these similar interests. For example, if one person in Uganda wants to work on environment, we would match him or her with this other person from Europe who wants to work on the same project. So we consider that at first. But then there are also some projects that don't really match well. So we consider things like their problem statements, their motivations. So we consider that as a secondary option. So after that, after matching them, we introduce them to our online platform. It is a professional online platform, personalized for only Global Match and its program. Mm-hmm. And on this platform, we made it in a such a way that we actually put certain sessions. There are 10 sessions, and basically these sessions lead our tandems into a process of realizing these projects mm-hmm. on eye level. Mm-hmm. On eye level, this means in the first phase of the sessions, these tandems come to meet online. Remember, they've never met. They are just connected online. So they come to meet online, make video calls, because on this platform, they're able to make video calls, audio calls. They're able to draw and, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the first phase, they come to know each other, introduce themselves, share about their life experiences, share about maybe their education background as well as their culture. Mm-hmm. And here we thought to it that as they are doing so, they are trying to bond. They are trying to bridge the friendship, to mutualize their connection. Yeah. So after this, we introduce them to post-colonial teachings. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can also, because I also wanted to ask about it, how you already touched a little bit on it. What maybe you can explain what is post-colonialism? And
Okay. Post-colonialism, it's basically, this was the period of time when European countries penetrated to Africa and they did the scramble and partitioning, you know. This left a lot of effects, both mental, physical, and as years move on, you realize sometimes people interpret these issues differently. Sometimes even other people want to still live in such a kind of life like before, even though some African countries say they are decolonized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we basically talk about these issues to bridge this gap, basically. At some point, some people from the Europe at some point think it is a blame on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's only if we talk about these issues and try to understand each other that we can work on an equal basis. So we try to relate these things. At some point, try to tell our tandems that these are things that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. At some point, the new generation is not that much responsible for what happened in the past. But then you realize, at some point, these issues still exist in us, yeah. In the minds, also even practically, realize people judge according to color, according to structure differences, according to the differences in the currencies and so forth.
Yeah.
So we try to talk about these issues. At some point, they are so emotional. Yeah. But then it's so interesting that, of course, we deal with human beings. It's really interesting that these people try to reflect a lot mm-hmm. about these issues. And during this process, believe me, they try so much to accommodate each other. try to appreciate each other, respect each other. Yeah, and then at the end of it all, they are really connected.
Yeah,
they are really mutually connected. Yeah,
that sounds really beautiful.
So after this, we of course they've tried to connect, and they are really strongly connected. So we assume they are more than ready to start working on a project that is problem solving. So from this point, we introduce them to design thinking, which is basically more of business models and so forth. So during this sector, they try so much to carry out enough research about their problems, because the difference that we have with our projects makes it far different from other development aid projects, because at Global Match, we first realize the problem before working on a solution. So in this process, they try so much to find out what is the real problem that is affecting, or the real problem that they want to tackle. Still, they carry out enough research about this project or this problem to know, is it really matching with what we want to communicate to the world, or with what we want to solve. So they also visit different organizations or that are doing almost the same thing, still in the course of researching about these problems. They also engage in searches on the internet, Google still, to come up with factual statistics and so forth. So still during this section, they also try so much to prototype, like to try out something physical to see if this project will really work or not. Otherwise, if it doesn't, then they have to go to re-go through the whole process, or think about any other problem that they can, that the two of them can work on. So still during this section, we as Global Match still give them some workshops and webinars on project management, to basically be at the same page of the kickoff of these projects. And in the last phases of it, we as well mentor them and try to empower them on how to come up with different project proposals. You realize there are so many funding organizations, even in Germany, that try to empower such projects, because these projects engage the whole world at large.
On your website, you're also writing you want to do this project detached from traditional development aid. Why is that? I mean, why is you all, maybe you already touched it a little bit, but why is there a problem that we from the Global North want to help you in the Global South?
This is really a good question. And I just want to begin by saying that Global Match is completely a different perspective. Because we try so much to show these tandems that it's not a point that the Global North should support the Global South. And actually, that is why the projects that we start up, or the projects that our tandem start up, they are both in Germany at the same time, in Uganda, or in Kenya, or in the UK, because we are an international organization. So we do this project in both countries because these problems affect us as a globe. Why it's quite different from development aid, just like I said initially, that you realize these development aid organizations, sometimes they don't go into details to find out what is the core problem that they really want to address. Just because they have money, they will just inject it anywhere where they think And at some point, it's even connected to other strings attached. Yeah, there are some development aid projects that are even aiming at profit maximization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they bring aid in Africa, in actual sense, they are gaining more money from that. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. And what do you think about the term white savior in this context?
In this context, white savianism, to me as an individual, and to also to the organization at large, we see this complex. You know, it's really a problematic concept. Mm-hmm. Because this is something, I should say, it's like a virus. It is affecting people from everywhere, from all over. Mm-hmm. You realize more so people from the South are so inferior to the extent that when they see a white man or a white lady, they look at him or her as a savior, which is completely different. Mm-hmm. And at the same point, you realize this person who is coming from Europe will also come having this perspective that I'm a savior, yeah, because this is what is portrayed. Mm-hmm. So he or she will come knowing I'm a savior, even though I start up a project in Africa during my vacation or holiday, I will start it up, and then when my holiday is over, I'll just go without even, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen it happening several occasions. They come during their holidays, they start up something like a project, and then at the end of their holidays, they go back and they leave this project halfway, you know?
Yeah.
And they never even try to make follow-ups how these projects are doing. Yeah. So you realize this thing is more internalized. People from the North think they are saviors. I cannot say all of them, because for this new generation, people are more reflected. People are open to talk about different issues.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I have engaged with so many people in I've so far been in Germany when I talk of European countries, but I found it so interesting that this generation is so open to talk about different issues, even about post-colonial critics and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So at Global Match, we try so much to bridge that gap, to talk about these issues openly, and then as well as trying to let our people know that there's nothing like white savianism, there's nothing like inferiority, there's nothing like superiority. And our partnerships are completely different from the things. Because our tandems are just numbered, like we do this every year, we match them every year, and it is just a generation.
Mm-hmm.
So someone would say, we reach out to a little people, like a few people, but then how can we let other people also know about these issues? So we organize some, like here in Uganda, in Kampala, every Wednesday we have post-colonial meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Where we invite so many people, also people from the North, from the Global North, and we talk about these issues, we try to understand each other, and for real, this is changing people's minds. And I'm concretely sure in a few years to come, we would have changed so many minds of people. Yeah. Who think this context.
That's super interesting that it basically works both ways. It's not only about us, the savior, but yeah. You are people in the South feeling like they need help.
Yes.
They don't just need help, they are empowered themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's interesting, when you said you met Katharina and you were 18, did you have a different kind of view on white people or back then?
I would say yes. Because I would say yes or no. Because one, at some point, given the fact that this person is coming from the Europe, I would see it as a chance for him or her to come and expose or even know more about these cultures, which makes them more reflected. Because once you're exposed to a certain culture, you try so much to understand it. Mm-hmm. And maybe find possible ways of dealing with it or living with it. Yeah. And then on the other hand, because it wasn't only Katarina who was coming to this orphanage, there were so many whites from wherever. And for me, it really put me into a certain state when I saw these people coming up. Because for them, they were coming on holidays, you know, holiday trips. Mm-hmm. But then in the name of trying to volunteer here and there. And they were starting up projects. And at the end of their vacations or holidays, they would leave these projects undone. They would leave them halfway. So this really puzzled my mind. And I was like, no,
yeah.
something should really change.
Yeah, it's so true. But then do you think there is a right way to volunteer? If you say, okay, it's not good to go somewhere on holiday and don't reflect yourself as a white person and what it means and that you are a guest and you should not leave projects unfinished. But do you think it's in general not a good idea to volunteer, or is there a good way?
No, it's really good to volunteer. It's so good to volunteer and to empower people. Mm-hmm. But in the sense of, you know, it's so important if you try to reflect on something before you do it. Because a reflected person at one point would say, much as I want to start up something, what is the impact, you know? And then what will come out as the end result? Mm-hmm. Yeah, will it be really helping or empowering? Or at the end of it all, will it be exploiting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would think a reflected person would definitely do something in a reflected way, knowing that maybe I'm volunteering in such and such a format, but in one way or the other, I'm gaining something, as well as these other people that I'm volunteering to are also benefiting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. It's interesting because I'm also very critical about this topic, but yeah. It's good to hear that you think this way, yeah. And you're not only doing Global Match, right? I think I also read that you found an organization that's called Arise African Youth Organization with a friend.
Yeah.
And it's basically about education, like I said, hunger and health issues.
Mm.
Maybe you can take us along with you to Uganda, to Jinja, where you are right now and where you've grown up. What is the current situation with the youth, and why is do you feel the urge to help the youth?
Nice. I happen to be a person who always wanted to create an impact in my community, or maybe at a country level, because I at some point lived a miserable life, losing my parents. My dad died when I was only 2 years, in 1995. And then my mama passed on when I was only 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So my life started here. And as a child, I had to take care of myself. It is true, I had siblings, but they were only 2 years older than me. So they couldn't do anything much, you know, we were all struggling. And I'm one person who always wanted to go to school to be someone, because I got so much inspired with people who always went to school. Yeah, looking at them as successful people and so forth. This inspired me a lot. And I at that age, I started so much to work for people in their homes, doing domestic work, like washing for them with my hands, slashing the compound and so forth. Mm-hmm. And this money that I was getting facilitated me to go through my education system. In Uganda, we have 3 terms in a year, but I could sacrifice one, the first term, to work for money that will cater for the 2 terms, the other 2 terms. Mm-hmm. And this is how I managed to go to school. And in my high school, I started having this thinking of creating an impact to the people that I live in. Mm-hmm. So I started up, while at school, I started up, it was something like, okay, it was an organ, we named it Green Revolution. And in Green Revolution, we were trying to be friends with the environment, mm-hmm. and we were planting trees. We got in touch with the National Forestry Authority, and they were always giving us tree seedlings to plant in different compounds, in different schools, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So when I got done with my high school, together with Prosper, we thought it wide, because I personally, being an orphan for those years, and after going through that hard moment or that hard life, mm-hmm. I tried so much to also think about my fellow orphans here in Uganda, because it's completely worse. It is quite worse. I can't say all orphans suffer, but some of them are really abandoned by the community, even by people who live, or even relatives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you realize most of them are on the streets. Yeah, they're on the streets. They resort to issues like stealing, because they have nowhere to get food from, so they will definitely steal. They will resort to things like taking drugs and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I thought it wide, and we called it Arise Africa Youth Organization, which accommodated all. We continued being friends with the environment, but mm-hmm. as well, we also started dealing with the youth at large, as well as the orphans and the elderly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we started up this Arise Africa Youth Organization. Of course, this was the point when we hadn't yet thought of coming up with Global Match with Catalina. Mm-hmm. So at this point, we could make gatherings with the youth and then share motivational speeches with them, as well as teaching them practical skills, mm-hmm. because we offer practical skills to these unemployed youth as well as the orphans, like making liquid soap, making paper bags, art and craft, as well as making mosquito repellent candles. We do mosquito repellent candles that makes it quite different from other candles. Mm-hmm. Because you realize other candles don't, as they give out this kind of smoke, they don't, the smoke has no impact. But ours, as the little smoke comes out, it is killing a mosquito, hence reducing on the rate of malaria. Mm-hmm. Malaria is also one tropical disease that is really dangerous to us. Mm-hmm. So we give these youth and the orphans these practical skills, whereby at some point, they also try them out outside there and earn a living out of it. They get some little money out of it. And then to the orphans, we also move to well-off families that are quite well-off. And then we visit them and then ask them if they have some materials that they no longer use, for example, shoes, clothing. Some people offer us with food. Others give us money. Mm-hmm. So we get these materials and then give them to these needy orphans as well as the elderly. Mm-hmm.
Super yeah. Cool.
So from this point, 2015 came, and we also sort of coming up with Global Match, and then directly Global Match became a partner organization to Arise Africa Youth Organization. Mm. Because yeah. At some point, we are both dealing with the youth.
Yeah, cool. Mm. So it all works together now. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And you said you've also been to Germany several times. Do you remember the first time you went to Germany? I mean, when was it and how did you feel when you came here?
Ah, nice. Good one. The first time I went to Germany, this was this very year in March. It was 2nd of March. And then I spent there 2 weeks, 1 week in Munich. And then the last week I was in Berlin. My experience in Munich as a reflected person was quite different from that experience in Berlin. Mm-hmm. During this exchange, of course, it was an exchange, Global Match exchange program between Germany and Uganda. And this and our tandems actually came to meet in real life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. It was really interesting to work together, like physically.
Yeah.
So my experience in Munich, because we did some post-colonial, we did some post-colonial tours around Munich, and then we were learning about there are certain shops that are nicknamed in the post-colonial times, and then also the way of life of people in Munich. They are a little bit reserved. They are quite reserved. Mm-hmm. Everyone cares for himself. but that's not a problem. It is a personal decision. Yeah. Like, for example, to me as a reflected person, I wouldn't worry so much about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then that's so different from Africa, right? When you are on the street and it's loud and you're engaging.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. In Africa, actually, even when you're a stranger, someone will call you auntie or uncle.
I really like that.
Even when you're not related, someone will easily say, hello, how are you? We'll just check on you to find out how you're doing. Yeah. Because we have this saying that once you meet a stranger, you have to greet him because you never know. The next few hours, you might fall into a trap or you might fall into danger, and it will be this same person to help you through this problem. So that is why we bring this kind of hospitality to this level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then, so when I went to Berlin, Berlin is a more reflected city, it's more international. I met people from Spain, from Uganda, from wherever. There are so many people from different countries. And it's even interesting that even the Germans, at some point, even the Germans that live in Berlin, I realized in Munich, so many people were sticking so much to the German language as a whole. Mm-hmm. But in Berlin, even the Germans like English so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in general, it was really an interesting trip for me. It was so interesting.
I can imagine. And so when you've been to Germany several times already, I think, and you kind of, maybe you can tell me, what kind of picture do we get from Africa? I mean, from the media, from stories.
Wow. I love this question. I really love it so much. The kind of picture that the Western media, I would say Western media, should get from Africa is this kind of picture that Africa is not a poor continent. This is one thing that I must say. Mm-hmm. Africa is not a poor continent. That is one. Two, the problems that are in Africa are more or less the same problems that are also in the Europe. The other thing is that the media should also try so much because there are so many people on the media and they have different perspectives. They have different intentions on using this social media or the internet. You realize there are people from Europe and also from Africa who want to gain money or to boost their financial statuses. But then they do it wrongly in the sense that when this person from the north, from the global north, comes to Africa, he or she will only take pictures of people who are in poor state, will only take pictures from the ghetto, from the slums, and so forth. And these are the only pictures that they upload on the internet. Yeah. But then, not realizing that Africa has got also cities, you know. At some point, Africa also manages to cater for what they need. Yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine who came with all, he came with how should I say, with clothing that prevent him from getting affected with jiggers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in Africa, there's nothing like jiggers, you know?
What is jiggers?
Jiggers is a certain disease that it is. They're actually parasites, mm-hmm, that mostly affect the legs of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he came knowing they are jiggers and he's going to be affected with these jiggers because this is what he sees on the internet. Mm-hmm. But it's completely different. Yeah. There are some people also who want to get money in the name of helping people who are suffering from wars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in Stuttgart and someone was telling people that they are victims of Kony. Kony happens to be a rebel of the Ugandan government, mm-hmm, but in the past years. Mm-hmm. These days, it no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And there are no more people suffering from these effects. But it is absurd that even up to now, people still get aid from different funding organizations from Europe, mm-hmm, in the name of helping people who are victims of this rebel. Yet they stopped completely. Yeah? Yeah. And this is exactly what they're uploading on the internet, you know? And no one from the Europe or no one from the global north will realize this unless if he comes to Uganda and find out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ask yourself, why is it that people are getting money because of the wars in Uganda? But then when you go on Google, you'll find that Uganda in particular is one country that is mostly toward. We have a lot of tourism attraction, but would people travel to come to tour if we weren't stable?
Yeah.
So in brief, the media should balance the two. Much as there are poor people in Africa, we also have rich people, mm-hmm, although not I would say. Yeah, we also have, much as we have poor people, there are also poor people in the Europe.
Yeah.
So it's a point of connecting the two. It's a point of both of us working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pave ways to solve these issues other than only uploading biased pictures of Africa.
Yeah.
To, the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because if we do this, if we follow and only upload the kind of pictures we expect to see, we are also a part of it, right? We also follow and exceed this image of Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. Definitely. Do you think it's it works both ways? I mean, I as an individual should reflect and should be critical about information I'm reading on the media, but at the same time, I don't know who gains power from this image of Africa. I guess there are some groups that want to keep this image.
Yes, definitely. You realize also that the two actually are into this, one from the north and one from the south. Like, for example, this a project that I told you about, these people who are working on the victims that are affected by the war. It is one person from the south, yeah, and then one person from the north. And they're working together to fool around people, you know, because they have interest in gaining their financial statuses and so forth. So both parties should reflect about it. If they really want to maybe find financial maybe gains, they should do it in other ways, other more reflected ways, other than tarnishing the name of Africa or even tarnishing the name of Europe at large.
So true. And can you give us maybe a tip, because also many people that are listening to the podcast like to travel, and if I would like to go to Uganda, maybe Africa in general, what can I do to be respectful when I come to your country?
It depends on the basis of what you're coming to do. If you're coming to be a white savior, trust me, trust me, it's completely different. Please just don't put on the shoes of a savior, because at the end of the day, you as an individual, if you reflect, you'll be ashamed of yourself. Come to Africa, expose, learn about the culture, appreciate people, in case their contributions, like respect each other. I have noticed at some point in some meetings, I've seen them online, but also in different organizations that have both black and white people. And when black people try to also bring up ideas, they're not so much followed, but still this is an effect of Savianism. So I would say respect for one another. Let's tackle global challenges together and at an equal basis. In case you want to start up a project or doing something, reflect on it. Try to find out what is the real problem that I want to work on, and then how best can I address it? How best can I engage people, both from the south and north? And then as well as knowing that these things are starting up on an equal basis. If I bring if I bring manpower, you also bring your ideas. If there is money to work on a certain problem, also let this other person also bring in the knowledge or something else, just to be at this equal basis.
Very, very good.
But
so it's interesting because it's it should be common sense, because when I meet someone here in Germany, I'm also respectful and I'm open and I'm communicating on eye level. So it should be normal to go, even if I'm going to a different country, to do the same, to reflect and to see the human and not, I don't know.
Yes, and also to try to understand cultures. Mm-hmm. Because you realize at some point people think, I'll talk a little bit about racism. At some point, someone will think he's being acted on in a racist way, but not realizing it is, at some point, culture, yeah? Mm-hmm. I'll give an example. I don't know if it is not true, you will let me know. In Germany, it is... it is okay for not saying hello to a stranger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, maybe at some point by culture, it is very fine. In Uganda, it is quite different, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because when someone bypasses you just like that, you would even think, oh, what is happening? Yeah? Something mm-hmm. like that. So when this person from Africa goes to Germany and then they treat him in a way that these other Germans are treated, he or she will feel offended. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if he tried to understand the culture, he wouldn't be even bothered so mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I brought it in a simple way.
Yeah, so it just starts in the mind to go to. I mean, when you go somewhere and you don't know that it's normal or polite to meet someone, but when you go and you are open and you, I mean, if you come with open eyes, right? If you come and see what people are doing and you are open for it, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
In the end of every interview I'm doing, I ask short questions. So the first one is, I would like to know what means sustainability for you personally. What do you connect with the word sustainability?
Sustainability to me really means having this going on concern. Like, what is the next step after this one? Yeah. If I'm doing something now, what is its impact now and how will it look like in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to the organization, to Global Match at large, because I'm also sure someone would even ask, fine, once you start up these projects, how sustainable are they?
Mm.
Yeah. Because at the end of it all, we wouldn't have put any impact if these projects weren't sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we try so much to, once these projects are started up in real life or practically, we try so much to engage them in so many different activities where these people gain connections to different empowerment projects or funding organizations and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and yeah, we also concentrate more, we put much emphasis to see that these projects are not only stopping at the end of the program, mm-hmm. but also moving on, because we are tackling these challenges. If it wasn't that, then we wouldn't be doing anything good.
Yeah. Cool. And you also said you engage with the youth in a eco way or in connection with environment. So can you, or do you have also maybe personally a simple tool or something everyone can do to live a more sustainable life?
Yes. For example, from the environment perspective, we have tried so much to sensitize the youth and the young ones from schools, to sensitize them about the dangers that may arise if we treat our environment unfairly. And then, because we thought to it that only teaching wouldn't solve anything much, mm-hmm. because you realize there are certain things that greatly affect the environment. For example, if someone dumped a plastic bag somewhere and it goes into the soil, it will affect it for years and years and years. So we practically also engage in activities like getting these improperly disposed paper bags or, sorry, plastic bags from the lakes, from the compounds where they are littered. Mm-hmm. And then, because we have a project from Global Match that is called Tribe, one of the projects from the Tandems. And what they do, they collect these plastic bags from the shores of the lakes, from even the schools, because when they visit the schools, they try so much to put dustbins, mm-hmm. where students can easily put these plastic bottles or paper plastic bags, mm-hmm. and then they make materials out of it. For example, they make bags in different sizes and shapes. Remember, this is plastic that is gotten from the shores or plastic that was improperly disposed, but then they are making it, they are upcycling it, yeah. into a different material. And then they make bags, wallets, and other materials. Mm-hmm. Someone would ask, why would they again come up with these bags? Yet they are doing it with polythene. So once they make these bags, they're really, really nice looking bags and very strong. Once they make them, they put a precaution inside. And whoever buys reads it, and they know whenever these bags get spoiled or when they get kaput, they have to bring them back to the organization itself, yeah. and then they'll be issued with another bag, mm-hmm. and then bring this one that is broken or kaput, mm-hmm. and then they will upcycle it again. So realize by so doing, they're trying so much to attract all improperly disposed plastic in the lakes, in the compounds, and so forth. They are trying to captivate it into one circle.
So it's like a circular economy with inspiration on top for everyone who buys something. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there any book or any, film, anything that inspires you or you want to share, any source of knowledge you really liked?
I would say, to a large extent, I'm so much inspired by the Global Match program, to be honest, mm-hmm. Because this really inspired me a lot when we thought of, when you look at the program itself, it really inspired me a lot. Mm-hmm. You just can't imagine Global North and South coming together, then working on a global challenge to solve something. And given the nature of the program, that people try to talk about critical things just for the sake of understanding each other and work on something, mm-hmm. that is affecting both continents or the global system at large. So I would say, honestly, I'm so much inspired by this program to the extent that I decided to work full time. I have other qualifications elsewhere. I would even apply for a job elsewhere, because even at some point, I would also need maybe a payment to sustain myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm so much inspired to the extent that I can leave anything else just to concentrate on matching people from different countries or different continents, yeah, and then come together to work on a global challenge.
Cool.
I think this really attracts me a lot.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes
I would think of anything else, but yeah, but for sure. Mm.
Sometimes you don't need books or written words or any inspiration from outside, but real life or real experiences are just so much different.
Yeah, I really like being real.
You like to be what?
Real.
Real, yeah. Where do you see the world in 10 years from now, when we think about the IPCC reports and all the data that's coming up? Are you still positive, or what is your feeling?
Yeah, I should say I am so much positive, because with what we are doing right now, who knows, it is putting a lot of impact to the globe. Mm-hmm. Who knows, a lot of things are changing if the environment is being affected, and we are trying to befriend it, we are trying to pave ways on how we can save it, and we've started now. Who knows, in the next 10 years, maybe we would have solved many things.
Mm.
So I'm really so much positive, and in 10 years, I look to see a more reflected world where people try to understand and work together on addressing issues that affect the globe at large.
Yeah.
So I'm so much positive.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Maybe, do you have anything to add in the end? Any last words or anything you want to share in the end with the listeners?
Yes, definitely. I just want to tell everyone that we are all responsible from wherever we are. We are all responsible for the well-being of this world. And in any case, there are negative things that are arising due to the problems that might bring maybe negativity to this world.
Mm-hmm.
Let us all think in the same line of reflecting, as well as knowing that we are all part and parcel of this world. So it is upon us to either destroy it or to save it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would emphasize more on saving the world, more so on our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got so much interested in the movements in Germany, the Fridays for the Future,
mm-hmm,
that trying so much to address these effects.
Yeah.
And I'm so sure the whole world watches this, and people have started approaching these issues in so many different ways. So the same way like these youth are doing, let us embrace them, let us support one another,
yeah,
in paving possible ways of saving this global system.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Charles. Thank you honestly for the insights, and I think it's so valuable to hear your perspective and your thoughts on the issues we talked about. And you heard it. It's on us. It's on us to save the world, and we can only do it together. So yeah, thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you too.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? I hope you learned as much as I did during this conversation. It was so cool to learn about his story, his motivation, his action, and also to hear that it just starts in our mind and it's all about waking up and being open, really, because there are so many things we just think we have this one story. We have this one story in our head about Africa. We have this one story about people from Uganda. We have one story about someone who is an orphan. But that's just not one story. I mean, think about Germany. We are so diverse, and when we travel and we meet people with open hearts and open eyes, then it's so inspiring, and it confronts us also with our own perception and with our own values and maybe what we think about being white or not being white, because it does mean we are super privileged, and some of us think that we just go somewhere because we have money and we know better and we don't really ask if it's needed. So I hope you got a good perspective on what it means to help also, and how you can help, or what is important if you want to help or volunteer. I don't know if you are following me in my newsletter or in my Instagram account or somewhere, because I am actually starting my own business, like I told you last time, and it's gonna be about connection, and it's gonna be about helping on eye level. So if you're interested in this topics and you feel like you also want to help and exchange, then I will put you a link here in the description to not only some information on the project, but also to a super, super short questionnaire. It really just takes 5 minutes to answer 7 questions. This would help like a lot. Interesting and amazing and inspiring times at the moment. I'm feeling like everything falls into pieces and people are helping me to make this happen. So it's really incredible. And I really think that this will help the world. Oh, I think so. It will help you, definitely. So, yeah, if you want to share, please share your thoughts on those topics on Instagram, or write me a message anywhere you like. Also, if you have any more insights or links or whatever. And of course, leave a review if possible on iTunes, so that more people can find this podcast and we can spread the message of changing perspectives together. And this is what we do. So thank you for your time, and see you then.